Okay, and so here we are with the end of year or Christmas Beyond the 90 podcast, powered by One Shot Football, live from my basement, Steve McBain, and I'm here with three Beyond the 90 regulars. Mr. Chris Paxton, back after a several week hiatus. How are you, Chris?
Very good, thank you.
Mr. Tom Warren, how are you?
Excellent, thank
and
you.
Mr.
Thank you.
Drew O'Donnell, fresh back from a holiday in Thailand.
Thanks for inviting me here. I'm going to get tanned on your glasses of wine.
Excellent. Well, we'll get to that later. But what we're going to do just as a one-off show tonight, we're going to go through the highs and lows of the years. What's been, you know, the thing that's really sort of stood out for people. And so we're going to start off with Chris. And Chris, basically, what is your high of 2015?
Well, you're going to see a bit of a running theme through my picks tonight. So the high of the year is not totally football related, but it's playing football. It's FIFA, the allegations and all the scandals going on there. And for me, that's a great positive thing that they're trying to shake things up. Thanks to the US for starting this off. So that's for me, that's the highlight of the year.
Okay, all right, that's refreshing to hear. And Tom?
My highlight of the year is Scotland finally got their independence, obviously with all the home nations qualifying for the Euros, and Scotland are staying at home. So I think it's wonderful. I'm looking forward to especially playing Wales in the group stages at the Euros.
Okay, well, that's the last we'll be hearing from Tom tonight. And anyway, moving swiftly on to Drew to try and redress the balance.
I mean, my highlight of the year was actually, it's a Scottish Premiership with Rangers. Actually, Davy King taking over from the shambles of the board that they left, took Rangers down into such a, I don't know what you call it, a crisis at the moment. So it's quite good that Rangers are back on an even keel when it comes to the financing. And hopefully before long, we'll be back where we belong, champions of Europe and playing in the World Cup. As an independent Scotland.
Well, there you have it. Hope springs eternal. I'll do my highs and lows and things in the last segment of the show. But Chris, moving on to the lows, unfortunately, what was your low of the year?
Well, I'm taking a bit of a left field look at this. For me, the lows this year is the lack of diversity, the limited amount of black managers in the league, the fact that no gay players have ever come out yet in the Premier League. And the treatment of Eva Canhiero, I thought, was despicable. So for me, that's the sort of thing that I think needs to change over the coming years. And football's lacking behind everywhere at the moment.
I mean, the numbers, whether people believe it's conscious or not, there has to be some sort of subconscious bias which is going on there. I mean, you know, everyone's spoken about this Rooney rule and things that they have in the US. Is that something that we think... is this really sort of paying lip service to thing, or would it make a difference, or would it at least provoke some thought? Or?
I think short term it's going to make a change, but the positive discrimination, I'm not sure that's the answer. I think, like you say, I think it's changing people's attitudes, especially the chairman. I think they're very much stuck in their ways. They go back to the regular old people, you know, Sam Allardyce, all these guys getting chance after chance after chance. Bring in some new guys, you know. It's good to see Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank doing well at the moment, but he's pretty much the only person at the moment that's got a job in the top tier of, or top few tiers of English League.
Russell Lapperty will be taking over at St Mirren, which is, I know you can't really call him, he's fully a black sort of coach, but he's up there and he's from St Mirren.
I think as well it has a lot to do with what else actually, the other stigmas there are in the actual English game, the fact that managers don't really get a chance, it's all very, very high pressure. And also the physical cost of actually doing your badges in England is a lot more than anywhere else in Europe, which I think does stop people from wanting to complete their badges, no matter what ethnicity.
But if you go around the major leagues in Europe, if I think Italy, yeah, Spain, Germany, France, I can't name you one... Yeah. One non-white manager. I really can't.
There was a few years ago, there was the French Tigana, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was probably the last one that I could probably remember in the continent, really.
Where's Chris Houghton nowadays? Or Chris Houghton, however you want to pronounce it.
Yeah. Well, he was rumoured to be in the running for either Fulham or the Swansea position. Okay. You know?
Well, great sentiment, I think, Chris, and certainly worth a thought. Now, Tom, what about your low for the year?
Well, mine's purely personal. It's just the fact that Fulham are continuing to struggle in the Championship when, in my eyes, we're a solid Premier League lower half team. So yeah, just the fact we're struggling, and for some reason at the moment it's quite, as you know, current affairs sort of thing, we are struggling to find a manager, which is very disappointing. So I end the year on a sad note.
Okay.
If I can change my high to Fulham struggling, that would be fantastic. My low of the year is obviously Rangers no qualifying for the Premier League. But at the same time, other things are obviously quite low, as the FIFA was up there. And it was probably against better judgment, I think Scotland not qualifying for the Europeans was an absolute heartbreaker. And I'm just glad that all three things have come at the same year. So next year, 2016, here we go.
I mean, one of the things, I mean, just, you know, sort of mentioning the highs, lows, whatever, about the, you know, the European Championship qualifying process. I mean, what do we think of the extended tournament? You know, there's just so many teams involved now. And it almost seems impossible to get knocked out at the group stage.
If it was me, I mean, I'm a big fan of cup competitions being cup competitions, and when you perhaps even the European Champions League, although it's great financing and various other things, it only benefits the stronger teams. In theory, it should go back to the old sort of just simple knockout stages and just play with it. And the World Cups before, they made the leagues because there wasn't enough teams. Nowadays there's 32, 24. To make that fit into a 4-week period is going to be very difficult, you know?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. This up-and-coming Euros, from most groups, three teams are going to get out. I mean, that's not a qualification, really, at all, is it? I know there are so many now small breakaway countries in Europe, but still, to be in a 4-team group and three of you have got a very good chance of getting out, I mean, that's more of a turning up competition rather than a competition.
I mean, there's two groups that look quite interesting, but apart from that, it's pretty tepid. I mean, it doesn't really, you know, grab the...
To me, there's only the one group of death, really, to me, is the Republic of... I think the Republic of Ireland.
Well, Northern Ireland's group's quite tough. Yeah. Germany and Poland, but...
Well, it may have been the North. Apologies for my geography there.
Well, anyway, well, us Scots will be on a beach somewhere. But
yes.
Anyway, that takes us on to our third picker of the night. And so we'll go back to Chris. And Chris, your team of the year. Actually, sorry, no, we're going to do player of the year first. What did we say we're going to do? Team, player?
Player, team. I can do either. Let's stick with the player then. You can pick, you know, the usual guys, usual suspects. But for me, the standout player, the guy that's come through this year is the young guy at Tottenham, Dele Alli. I just love his attitude, the way he plays. You know, the way he played against France the other month, it was fantastic. And he's got all the attributes. He's still very young, and I think he's going to be a fantastic player. And it's not normal for an English guy to be playing that well at that age, I think, with that much confidence. So, yeah, that's for me. I know it's a bit odd.
What do you think his best position is going to end up being?
I hope he's going to be kind of slightly further forward. I don't want him to be a holding midfielder, I think. I think he's got the attributes. He's physical. He's got a great range of passing. So I think he's something a bit like a Lampard at Chelsea. I think that's where
he is. Yeah, it always worries me with England is that, you know, you had I remember in the 90s, had so many great centre-forwards. Then in the early part of the century, so many great centre-halves. And I wonder whether he's just coming along at the same time as Ross Barkley.
I think he's compared to Barkley, I think he's got more attributes. I think he's a more rounded player. Barkley's still a bit of a liability. I know he can turn it on, but for me, the way Dallier plays,
he gives the ball away a lot. Though I know he has a lot of the ball, but he does. Barkley does give away a lot of the ball.
But you got to try. That's the main thing. I mean, I thought Ross Barkley is definitely one of my players of the year, especially for his age. And at the end of the day, you've got to try. If you frighten players not to make mistakes, they're not going to try, you know. And you're not going to get a Maradona goal or an Archie Gemmell goal, you know.
Right.
So I mean, I think you've just got to try. And if you make mistakes, then you live with it and you improve, you know, and you'll make less and less.
Tom,
I'm going with from what I've seen from watching a bit, I'm going for Paul Pogba at Juventus. I just think the way he's come into that Juventus team and the people that he's learnt off, and he's doing really well. And I genuinely think he's probably one of the best young midfielders around the world at this moment. I think it'll be very interesting to see what he actually does for France in the summer.
Okay, all right, interesting. But, Pogba, that's an interesting choice, certainly on the strength of his haircuts. And Drew, what are you thinking?
Well, as I said, for Young Player of the Year, I would have sort of put in a Ross Barkley or even a Daniel Alli. I've been sort of like good mentions, and even Pogba, I think 21 or 22.
Yeah, 2021.
He would have been up there. But I think what I'm going to go for is a goalkeeper, Man U with De Gea. Because over the last two seasons, he's been the primary reason that Man U didn't go further down than seventh when David Moyes was in charge. And he was the primary reason that they got to fourth in the league. So for a guy like that, it's good to mention a goalkeeper every now and then.
Well, definitely, they do, as they do say, if you have a good goalkeeper in the Premier League, you know, with Arsenal signing Petr Cech, as you know, even John Terry said, you know, that by Arsenal signing Petr Cech, that's worth 10 to 15 points a season.
That's what they say, 15 points.
Probably needs to work on his handling corners a little bit, but never mind. Never mind.
What like Ayrton Senna?
Absolutely. Now, moving on, Chris. Team of the Year.
Okay, so I mentioned a bit of a trend earlier about the FIFA. So for me, it's the FBI team that pulled FIFA to rights. I think they've done a bang up job.
What's the name of the journalist guy?
You've got to write in for... What's Sepp Blatter ever done to you?
I know, I was going to say one of the highs of the year was when he went to hospital, but no, that's... That amount of schadenfreude is yeah. I think they've done a great job, and it's typical of the Americans. They've stepped up to the plate here, and they've... You know, they've done what the rest of us haven't done, and fair play to them.
All right. Feels like a step in the right direction, but there's clearly a lot of work to done. And I mean, I was reading just yesterday they're expecting Blatter and Platini to only get maybe 6-7 year bans or something. I mean, it's just not enough for me. But anyway, it feels like things are at least out, well, a lot more out in the open.
I don't mean it rude, but Sepp Blatter is 79. If he gets a 6-year ban, that might be a problem.
Yeah, I just think it's mainly symbolic. But regardless of their age, I think the punishment should fit the crime.
I did read today there's 133 new wire transfers to be investigated, just related to the two up and coming World Cups, 18 and 22. I mean, if 133 wire transfers doesn't equate to a lifetime ban or prison, you know, then FIFA and the FBI really need push it harder.
Okay. Well, just moving on And Tom, can you just give me your team of the year?
Yes, I'm going for definitely, again, a bit left field. I'm just looking at it purely from sort of an English point of view. And I've gone for Watford.
Not Fulham.
No.
Are you sure? Yeah. We can. Go back to Fulham.
No, definitely Watford. No chance. Watford, they have got 16 new players this year, or even you could even say from the start of the season. Watford have 16 new players. They're seventh in the league with Flores at helm. You know, if Leicester weren't doing so well, Watford would be everybody's
so
team of the season.
Cash flush Watford are the team of the year. Right?
Did you drop your Delia Smith cookbook?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what you've got for Christmas? You got the missus buying it up for Christmas. Well done.
All right, well, Watford, I mean, yeah, certainly a decent shout. And Drew, what are you coming up with?
Well, I mean, I'm taking over from Jeremy here. I read the stats that Arsenal were the team of 2015 as far as... most Premier League points, etc., 72. And I think when they win the FA Cup, you'd put them up there. But for me, you know, and as a big James Vardy fan this season...
You said James Bond.
James Bond. Well, that was a poor movie. I would just like to say that I think Leicester, when you consider that this time last year they were struggling, they were fighting relegation, they came out of relegation, they survived, and they've moved on to bigger and better things, and they're actually doing phenomenal. No one would have predicted this at the end of the day. And for a team that probably costs less than the football boots that Chelsea buy every season, or Man City buy.
Or Manchester United.
I think it's a phenomenal viewpoint for teams just to have pizzas as the bonus for going home. Is it pizza and beer? I think that's fantastic.
Pizza for a clean sheet. Yeah. However, Jamie Vardy doesn't eat pizza.
Yeah.
What does he eat then?
Defenders, John Terry.
Apparently he's a pasta and a salad fan.
Yeah. Pasta and a salad. Well done.
Look like one. But no, I think it's been, you know, a breath of fresh air, I think, some of the teams this year. I still believe that a lot of the advances that they've made is just due to the abject mediocrity at the top of the league. But refreshing Netherlands. All right, guys. Well, that ends... it's not going to be part one. That ends squad one for tonight.
Yay.
And we'll be back with the next group of victims. Okay, so so here we are back with part two of the Beyond the 90. It's the Christmas end of year podcast. I'm your host, Steve McBain, and I'm here with pod regulars, Mr. Jeremy Searle. Jeremy, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Steve.
Mr. Parth Vash, how are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you. Good evening, guys.
And we have a new pundit on the show, Mr. Simon French. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. How are you?
Now, Simon, just before we start, we have a bit of a tradition for any new pundits, and that is, who do you support and why?
Up the Hammers.
West Ham fan. For those of you that don't talk Cockney, that's West Ham.
My dad was born in Bow, and I've been following them since I can remember. Knee high to a grasshopper.
And great stuff of West Ham player for you? Who's your favourite player?
My favourite player of all time, Trevor Brooking.
Trevor Brooking, okay. We won't go with the worst ever player because we'll be here all night. Now, this is also a first for us on the show because we have a live studio audience. So there we have it, boys, our live studio audience. So no pressure on tonight's pundits. Now, as we did in part one, we're just going to go through our highs and lows of the year. So, Jeremy, we'll start off with you, mate. What has been your high of the year?
Well, Steve, not to upset you, mate, but my high of the year is the fact that Chelsea have gone from champions to relegation battle in 16 games. To me,
anyway,
that is
coming,
my
Jeremy.
High of the year. Simple as that, mate.
All right, excellent. Well, moving swiftly on, this will be a very quick section of the show. Parth, what about you?
Well, I think I would have said what Jeremy said, but I think there's a better opportunity for me as a Liverpool fan. I would think appointment of Klopp as manager is a high for me for this year.
Okay, fair enough. Well, there we go. A Spurs fan and Liverpool both clutching at straws admirably. Now, moving on to the Hammers fan.
Come on, Simon. Steve,
as this falls over, sorry, give me something intelligent to listen to.
I will give you something intelligent, Steve. Jeremy, I completely disagree with you about Chelsea being a team. my high point of the year is watching Mourinho's expression every time they lose and trying to find an excuse. That's been my high point.
So here I am with three bitter and twisted old men. I mean, guys, Chelsea's a little bit in focus. Jeremy, what's your prediction for Chelsea's finishing place this season?
17th.
17th?
I think they'll be relegated this year.
Have you not left yet?
Parth over the model of,
No, I go for 16, Steve. I think
16, I okay. Oh.
It's a brave call.
16, 17 and 18.
So all of you are going to be selling me Chelsea at those positions, right? $1,000 a point, right?
Yeah, I would go with
done,
that.
Done, and done. Anyway, moving on. Jeremy, what's your low point of the season? Sorry to spoil your night, but...
You'll be happy with this, Steve. I think my low point of the season is realising that Spurs aren't going to crack the top four next year. I think we're going to finish fifth again.
Why has that only happened to you this season?
Well, every season, I live in hope. And I just realised earlier this season that it's not going to happen.
Yeah. All right, okay.
Star Wars and New Hope.
So basically, on top of bitterness, we've also got some short-term memory problems and forgetting what happened to me last year.
I think it happened to me last week, Steve, to be honest with you.
Last week. Okay, now Parth, low point of the year?
For me, it'll be a bit different from the usual low points or high points. I would say what happened in France during the qualifiers, the terrorist attack, was a low point of the year for me.
Yep, certainly a concern for fans around the world and something we would all echo. And Simon, for you?
Well, being a West Ham fan, unfortunately, the number of injuries we've had to Payet and Lanzini, because they should have been top without the injuries.
West Ham, well, you've got Andy Carroll back. I mean, you know.
Well, that's another. That's another low point. He should have been injured.
One of my high points of the year was, I'm trying to remember who you were playing, but he did that little pirouette in your own penalty box, and then...
I wasn't there that day.
Might have been Watford, I'm not sure. All right, okay, well, those are our low points of the season, so we won't dwell on those too much. So, Jeremy, your player of the season. Oh, sorry, player of the year, sorry.
More player of the season has to be Jamie Vardy from Leicester.
Yes!
come really. Had two mediocre seasons in the Premiership with Leicester, and just hit it right this season. High goal scorer, playing very, very well.
Okay, as an Englishman, do you want to see him starting for England at the European Championships?
Depending on how the rest of the season goes, yeah, I think he has a good chance. We don't have any decent strikers apart from Harry Kane, of course.
If everybody's fit, Sturridge, Rooney, you know, Vardy, and Kane.
Who would I drop? Rooney.
Well said. Say it again. Say it again for Ryan.
He is your captain.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, I would predict that that Wayne Rooney will be starting for England on their first match, but we will see. Parth, what about you? Player of the year?
Well, for me, it's Mahrez, again, a Leicester player. He has been awesome this whole season. Nobody knew about him. He's a very underrated player. I mean, apart from scoring goals, he's supplying all the goals. Jamie Vardy would be thankful to him as well. I think he's the backbone of the team.
Okay, all right, fair enough. And Simon?
Well, just to be predictable, it's got to be a toss-up between Mahrez and Vardy. For me, Vardy comes out on top. Just simple. I don't think anybody else to compare.
Okay. I mean, guys, just as a, you know, just as a sort of a footnote on that, I mean, Mahrez is what, he's 24, right?
Yeah.
Vardy's 28. I mean, how have, with all these scouting networks and everything else, how has Jamie Vardy got to 28 without being noticed? I mean, how has this come to pass?
It's a case of, it's just timing, isn't it? I mean, it's confidence, timing. It's like in any sport, it's confidence. And he's found the right environment, he's got the right manager, I think, for me. And he's just found the right timing and he's there at the right...
Who's better, Mahrez or Payet?
Payet.
Payet when he's not injured. Payet, for sure.
Now, a lot of people have been talking about the January transfer market. If the unthinkable happened, how much is Vardy worth?
Fiver. Glasgow Rangers.
Got some heckling from the crowd. Some unintelligible talk from the cheap seats.
Well, they're talking $50 million for Harry Kane after 1.5 seasons.
But he's a lot younger, right? I mean,
he is a lot younger, yeah. And Vardy's been... This is his third season in the Premiership. Is so maybe $30 million? $30-35 million?
Okay. Mahrez? And what about Mahrez?
I would think Mahrez would be worth anywhere around 25 to 30 million. Nobody would pay 30 million for Vardy, I don't think so.
Liverpool?
Yeah, no way.
Well, didn't you guys pay
They've got so many strikers. Didn't you play with 11 strikers.
Didn't you pay 30 for Adam Lallana and about 35 for Benteke, right? So.
Yeah. So I mean,
these guys are going to be worth upwards of 200, right? I mean,
it's a different era now. It's not Brendan Rodgers' era, so I hope Klopp will bring in different taste to the team.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So that is our finishes off our player of the season, and so Jeremy, your team of the season, your team of the year. So I keep saying season. Sorry.
My team of the year is also Chelsea. For giving me so much joy, so much pleasure for being so rubbish this season and making my day and year so far.
Well said, Jerry. How long have you been waiting for that? 1 year?
10 years.
10 years.
No, he's actually been waiting his entire life, but every year he forgets he's been there. Okay, now Parth?
I would agree. Chelsea is the team of the season. You got to give it to Mourinho. You got to give it to the team.
Talking in the taxi on the way over.
You wouldn't believe, to all the people listening, you wouldn't believe that I've just fed these people.
I've got a completely different
outlet. Oh, boo, I thought it was going
to be... No, okay, you've got to be positive, haven't you? So it's either, for me, if you're looking at England, it's got to be Brighton or Leicester. I mean, they're the obvious ones, but for the team of the year, I was lucky enough to be in Colombia for a month at the time of the Copa America. And for me, it's Chile. Chile were brilliant. Chile to win that really were absolutely brilliant.
Alexis Sanchez has had a fabulous season as well.
They played the most exciting football. Uruguay were a complete disappointment. Colombia, my wife's team, were a complete disappointment. Argentina...
Were you there for the Chile-Argentina game?
Yes.
Very niggly and a bit...
Yeah. So happy. The Colombians we were with in the square watching the TV were absolutely
were absolutely racked that Chile won. So,
all right,
well, that's my team of the year.
Simon, how did Scotland do in the South American Championships?
They were very close.
All right, well,
very
what
unlucky.
Well, what we will do is we'll continue this discussion off air later. But that is going to take us to the end of the second squad, as I said earlier, and we'll be back with the final squad,
the B team.
And so here we are back with the third and final squad of the One Shot Football podcast, the Beyond the 90 podcast, sorry, powered by One Shot Football. You'll also be hearing my best and worst of the year as well in this segment. I'm your host, Steve McBain. So I'm here with Mr. Grant Davis. How are you, Grant?
I'm very well, thanks, Steve. All good. Yep.
Happy with Spurs so far this year? Or
I was until we lost to Newcastle. Yeah. No, I am happy with us, yeah. I think
we the other Spurs fan.
And Ryan has been crackerjack being a Man United fan lately. So Ryan Marsden, I should say, sorry. He needs no introduction after all. But
hello, and yes, on to the next question.
Excellent. Okay, well, let's start with Grant. And Grant, what is your high point of the year?
I think, touching on from where Jeremy was talking about with Chelsea, I think the high of the year.
I was hoping for some intelligent comment in this final section. I'm doomed.
My high of the year so far would probably be that Mourinho won't be in the dugout against Sunderland at home.
Well, you said you just before you got here, you saw something.
I did. I saw some breaking news. He's been called into a meeting tonight to discuss if he should be at the game on Saturday. And I was
also, I presume, to discuss January transfer targets.
Yeah, well, or Costa's departure, maybe something like that. But and also, I mentioned to you, I was unaware when he was brought in a few years back that he came in on a 3-2 vote. So, that was probably what tonight's meeting might be all about.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
And I mean, do you think, you know, Chelsea are in, you know, proper relegation trouble or?
I don't. I kind of, over the last few weeks, I look at that squad and probably the best manager in the world. There's one manager in the world who would get them out. And week after week, they're not getting the results. But I don't know, maybe a change, you know, maybe if he has lost the dressing room, a new manager.
Neil Warnock, maybe?
Yeah, or or Harry Redknapp would get you out of that hole.
Oh! Right? Harry Redknapp, Big Sam.
Then they always say, don't they, you know, you're never too good to be relegated. And I think they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Okay, all right. Well, Ryan?
There's a thousand bucks on it.
Well, Steve, a little bit of respite for you. this was a tricky one. I mean, it's been such an indifferent year for so many teams, especially if we look, I guess, domestically into the EPL, English Premier League, whatever you want to call it. But a lot of focus on our own teams, and I won't excuse myself for making Manchester United my high of the year. My expectations were so well managed coming into the season, and to see them even fighting for Europe, that is something that pleases me. And they could also be my low of the year. They aren't, because the manner in which they're doing it is obviously not so conducive to being a fan. But I'm okay. I'm happy to see them up there, and that's a surprise. So that's my high of the year.
Okay, well, I've just changed my high of the year to actually finding a humble Manchester United fan. But no, for me, for my own high of the year, I think it was just seeing Sepp Blatter taken down. I mean, that was just, as much as it's just, you know, miserable seeing how much, you know, corruption and everything was going on in FIFA, I think it's probably something that we were all aware of anyway. But I actually see him get a little bit of his comeuppance. I mean, unfortunately, we're not going to see him in the stocks, you know, with rotten vegetables thrown at him and stuff. But to see him out of the picture is a good thing for me.
Here.
All right. Now, Grant, your low of the year.
God, I think the low of the year has just got to be, I think Arsenal are going to win the league, mate.
Oh, I'm
just, I look at the teams.
It's not the low of the year, it's the fear low of the year, because it's not happened, right? It's the fear that's grabbed you.
Just committed suicide.
Yeah, it's, I look at the teams who are up there with them, and City, you know, you watch them, they're just, they're dire, they're still up there. United, they're up there. Obviously, Leicester, you know, been doing great. And I just, unfortunately, I see Arsenal when they look the best out of the rest of the top three up there at the moment, to be honest.
It's a poor division this year, but I mean, Arsenal do seem to be getting some results that you wouldn't expect them to get. I mean, it is interesting in that he finally bought a goalkeeper, and they are showing some character. I'm not saying it's the answer to all their problems, but they seem to have a decent central defence, who I think, it's not a coincidence that they've improved since they got Cech behind them, constantly talking. And that's one of the things I think is a problem with Chelsea, is the communication.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
Now that Cech is gone, that's an intangible that you maybe didn't realise.
Well, Arsenal, not going back into their George Graham days, they were tight. They've always leaked a lot of goals under Wenger. And they said when they sold Cech to Arsenal, he will be the difference of that 8 to 10 points at the end of the season, what will probably win him the league. And he's commanding that box now. I mean, I don't think his two centre-halves in front of him are great. I think Mertesacker gets found out quite a lot in the Premier League. He hasn't got that pace, and you know, obviously a few of the other boys.
I prefer the other guy they bought. Who's the guy they bought in from Spain last year?
Muriel?
No, the other centre.
Oh no, yeah, from Villarreal they bought him. He's a hard player. He's a South American hard player.
I mean,
Mertesacker
to me is the biggest Jesse girly looking 6'7" German I've ever seen. I mean, he's just. You know, he just doesn't strike any fear into anything.
Yeah.
What happened in the trenches?
Well, it depends which side you're on, but anyway.
I think when Wenger actually bought him, he was thinking he was going to bring that German steel to that defence, and he's not that sort of player for the Premier League where it is pace and it's fast.
Well, if you're looking for some German quality in that team, Mesut Özil, mate.
Well, we'll talk about that bloke later.
Who'd you rather have, Mahrez or Özil?
Mate, I hate to say this. I've been one of the, Ozil, he's finally justified a £45-50 million transfer. Now, you know, I know he's up there now with the top assists in the Premier League. You know what? I hate to say it. If you think dollar for dollar, I generally think over seasons, Ozil will take you a little bit further if you want the truth.
I mean, for me,
for £400,000.
The crowd, there's a bit of heckling from the crowd, but I mean, for me, I mean, I think Özil and David Silva for me are the two real quality. I probably have Mata and Mahrez maybe just down just a notch. All right, Ryan, so your low point of the season.
Well, Steve, you already mentioned it. I won't dwell on it. I've got more talking to do later, but FIFA and the culmination of what we've all known for so many years, that's clearly the low point of the season for any football fan, I think. So FIFA, hope it finishes, gets flushed out, and just solves itself, and we can all start again.
But I mean, what do you actually think? I mean, with FIFA, I mean, are we going to get we'll get some new people voted in, and the system continues, or you know, can we actually get a change where it's an accountable, you know, organisation, you know, that it's transparent?
I think that's possible.
Or is it just going to be a bunch of different people doing the same thing?
Usually it wouldn't be possible, but it's the core is so rotten. I mean, if Platini, it's not a slight against him per se, but he's one of the old guard, even though he's one of the newer of the old guard.
We all heard Athletics have been cleaned up, and that doesn't seem to be any better either.
Well, when you scratch beneath the surface, maybe not, but you've got to get the people there who can implement change. And I think it's clear that anyone that had anything to do with the old guard is not going to be able to do that. And there's just been such a cull that I think there is the opportunity to get new, real new fresh faces in. It's needed. It needs to happen. And I think there's enough pressure around the world with the vested interest that can make that happen.
Okay, well, with a bit of luck, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Low point for me this year, well, it has to be Chelsea's title defence or absolute lack of one. I think the Chelsea fans do deserve a bit of credit for really, really sticking with their team and their manager. But I think, you know, enough is enough. I think the players really, really, need a bullet. I think Roy Keane was right the other week when he said that the managers get too much credit when things are going well. too much flack when things are going badly. Those guys are getting paid a fortune and they're just not performing. So that has been the absolute low for me. But
interesting this morning that one of the more vilified players comes out and says people need to stand up.
Well, I think Fabregas is trying to get his place back in the team.
Maybe. He's gone missing all season, mate.
Exactly.
Well, that's the irony, right? Yeah.
Okay, well, so obviously Fabregas will not be your player of the year. But Grant, who is your player of the year?
Mate, I think Dele Alli has been unbelievable. You're talking about...
Ryan, you're sitting back and laughing, but that's second time it's come up tonight.
We are talking about a kid who has just come from Milton Keynes to join a big club, right? Believe it or not, Spurs are a big club. He's come, you know...
It's not that hard to get from Milton Keynes to North London.
You know, that would be our new ground as well for a year. But he's been unbelievable. He's 18, 19. He's adapted to the Premier League straight away. He never thought he'd come in straight away to be a first team player. And he's probably him and Lloris are first on the team sheet. He's been scoring goals. He's been threading Spurs, keeping them going. And I'm sorry, we've been 15 games unbeaten. He's been in pretty much every single game. He's been excellent. Yeah, I could say
Spurs player of the year, maybe.
You know, the other players, have had Premier League experience for quite a few years now. He hasn't ever, he only came into the first team after three games.
Well, Grant, Chris earlier brought up Dele Alli. One question I had was, as an England fan yourself, is there room in the England team for Barkley and Dele Alli?
I think there definitely is room for both of them because they're quality players, but...
balance it out somehow, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, they're going to play a lot of games over tournaments, aren't they? I mean, I think they're both very, very good footballers, but just seems like, maybe Dele Alli's got that extra sort of, spring in his step, maybe.
You actually just listen to what Chris said? Because he said exactly the same thing. And I'd also point out, Ryan, he's a Manchester United fan.
Dude. Maybe that's why he's motivated.
No, not Dele Alli. It might be, actually. I don't know. Everybody else is. All right.
Can I ask the Spurs fans a question? Is Dele Alli the new... sandwich food group at Tottenham Hotspur.
There's just a sort of some more heckling from the cheap seats, which is probably not coming up on the mic. But anyway, Ryan, player of the season or player of the year?
Player of the year. I looked a bit wide. I didn't look at the season. I did look at the year. We'll go work backwards from that. I mean, obviously Vardy is the player of the season so far, but doesn't get my player of the year. I think. Most of his teammates need to take some credit as well. I mean, even Andy Cole could have scored some goals in the Leicester team this year. No, would have missed more than he scored. And I think looking at the stats, and stats is what makes player of the year, the contribution, the effectiveness, and you've got the obvious two, Ronaldo, Messi. You've got Neymar, who's really filling their boots. And a little surprise package, maybe not to those in the Bundesliga, but Lewandowski has been off the charts this year.
Your answer?
No, if I had to go with stats, I'd say Ronaldo. If I had to go with...
You just picked one!
I'm struggling, I'm still undecided. Neymar would be my player of the year, Neymar. Because he filled it. Messi stepped out of that team and he's gone to another level. So that's why. So Neymar.
So is Suarez, really.
No, he bites people.
Well,
he bites people. People who bite people don't deserve player of the year.
Well, that just takes us...
End of story.
What Ryan doesn't realise is that, I think what they call it in radio terms now is segueing. But you have just segued nicely into my player of the year, who is Luis Suarez.
Segueing, by the way?
I don't know why they call it segueing. I don't know, because it's meant to be like a smooth sort of... I don't know. It just sounds like a... Anyway. The reason I've gone for Luis Suarez is because, it's a great sort of redemption comeback story and the whole thing, but I just think that I probably hadn't appreciated just how good he was until he went to Barcelona. Because, to look the best of a bad bunch at Liverpool wasn't that hard. But if you see Neymar and Messi, if it's possible, look like better players with him there. He is just, you know, slotted in so easily. He's such an unselfish player. His work rate. I know the whole biting thing and that, but, you know, really, I'd rather have someone bite me than try and break my leg. It's really not going to bother me that much. I mean, you saw with Ivanovic when he got bit, he just kind of almost laughed. So I think Suarez has just been absolutely superb. He went there with a huge price tag, had a slightly iffy start, and he's just come really, really good, and he's been superb for them. And, you know, you're saying about Neymar when Messi was injured. Well, Suarez has matched his numbers, and his work rate's absolutely superb. So he is my player of the year.
I think if you took that bite out of Suarez, he wouldn't be the player he is.
There's
there
you go. Who said there was no place for a bad pun at Christmas? Okay, all right. Well, that just takes us on to our final picks of the night. And so, Grant, who is your team of the year?
Team of the year. I mean, you probably would have to say Leicester. They've been great, but you know,
you're not going to do a Ryan and just pick every team in the world and then.
No,
I actually, you know what? I don't love them. They're London clubs, so I'm
Chelsea.
I support them, well, to a degree. I like to see London clubs do well. I think Watford and Palace have been excellent so far, if you want the truth. I mean, yes, you give it to, you know, Leicester. They're up there, they're top. But, you know, they've got a great manager, Ranieri. But, you know, he's not working with big finances. I think Watford and Palace, I mean, Pardew's just done unbelievable there, right?
It's actually one thing about you saying about Leicester with big finances, but they've got some very rich owners. If they actually wanted to put money in January and really have a go at this, they've got some serious cash behind them.
Well, look, let's not discount. If they do finish top four, you look at that pot, what the chairman is, what the club are going to receive from finishing with the top four. I personally don't think they will finish top four, but nevertheless, they have very wealthy, you know, owners, and, you know, maybe from January they could go spending. But who do you really buy of quality who can come and join you in January?
Dele Alli?
He's not for sale, mate.
Eden Hazard?
Yeah. He is.
So which team did you plump for in the end?
I've got to go for Leicester, to be honest. When let's not kid ourselves. When Pearson left at the start of the summer, I pretty much think every bookie, every pundit said Leicester are going down. They brought in the Tinkerman. He's done wonders, and
everyone was making a mockery of that, and you know, it was going to be disaster. Including me, I might add.
They were, and I just think sometimes in life you've got to give credit when it's due, and you know, they up until now into the year, I think they have been. Sure. Towards the end of the season, we'll see. But
it's a nice story. Okay, Ryan, your team of the year.
Well, Grant's not far off, but that's the second best team of the year. The best team of the year by country mile is Northern Ireland. What they did, European qualifiers, again, over the year, is exceptional. I don't know any of the players. So even if you mention their names, I wouldn't recognise them. And that's my point. There are no superstars as a team. And the question is, what's the team of the year? All the way back for the calendar year, Northern Ireland, astonishing. Absolutely astonishing.
Who's your ex-centre-back? He's gone to West Brom. Johnny Evans?
Didn't even know he went to West Brom.
Whiteside.
Yeah. Norman Whiteside. Is he still playing, Norman Whiteside?
And Best. George Best.
There you go. That for quite clearly, yeah, they didn't just qualify, they won their group. I mean, it's consistency, team effort, astonishing.
Well, again, for the second time, Ryan has unwittingly led into my team of the year. My team of the year, very much for the same reasons, was Iceland. I mean, 300,000 people qualified straight off the bat, no playoffs. I mean, what a great story. It's not like they've got any real, you know, footballing heritage. I mean, okay, you've had the good Johnsons. You know, a couple of other players here and there, but I mean, you know, Northern Ireland with George Best and whatever. I mean, Iceland, it's a great story. They had a near miss on the World Cup finals, and then to come back and make the championships, you know, straight off the bat, great story, I think. All right, guys, well, that pretty much takes us to the end of tonight's special year-end Beyond the 90 podcast. So a big thanks to all the participants and to our studio audience.
Yeah.
And to Mr. Tommy Loon for not doing anything wrong.
I didn't say anything.
Well, exactly. That's what I said. You didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, exactly what I said. So a big thanks to everyone, and we'll catch you again soon.